Let's open our Bibles, going back to 2 Timothy, and we're in the fourth chapter, and we're going to begin reading again from verse 1, but I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I hope we know that it's not because of us, but God is taking us, if we want to, into the Fort Knox of heaven, and that's the truth. This is the best of the best, and it's there for all of God's precious people. It's there for every man. He said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. And I cannot tell you how grateful, and I know you know this, but I could never express it, how thankful I am for the grace of God that has been bestowed upon us, that's with me, that's in me, that has caused me to want, if by any means, to attain and to apprehend this. Praise Jesus. What a wonder the likes of us that we would be ones that would want to go after the exceeding riches of His grace. Hallelujah. I hope all the hair on your arms are standing up and everything else. I'm surprised you're not standing up, but that's okay. Praise be to God. But let's begin reading from chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. See, I don't need to be preaching anything else, and God help us if we ever want to do. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And we're in it. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch, thou in all things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Praise be to God. And I believe by the grace of God, well, I know by the grace of God, because this is His word, I'm preaching to the good soldiers that do endure hardness. If you go after this, you're a good soldier. And you're going to endure affliction. Because it is not an easy way. It's not easy to come into this meeting and to listen to this precious message. Because the enemy will be allowed to fight you, because God is going to prove Himself faithful in those that truly are the true worshipers that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Know it. I commend you, brethren, but it's all because of the grace of God that's with you. Hallelujah. But we left off in that eighth verse last week with the offering of the crown of righteousness. And I want you to think about what that really translates, that crown of righteousness, as we go through this entire study tonight. And I pray it will never leave your heart nor your lips in thankfulness to God. It means the exalted rank of righteousness. That's what the crown of righteousness is. It is the exalted rank of righteousness. Now we saw so clearly last week the testimony of this exalted rank of righteousness, the testimony of loving His appearing. And those are the ones that receive this exalted rank of righteousness. And they are the ones, as the Apostle Paul, who have fought a good fight, who have finished my course, and have kept the faith. And all of these glories can and only will be accomplished in our life one way, brothers and sisters. We know this. It's by the grace of God that is with me. And I think it's so wonderful because that's why it's grace and glory. You'll never have glory without grace. Everything comes from grace. Praise God. It all flows down. Now, when we lay hold of grace upon grace for every moment of our lives, This is what transpires. And aren't we so thankful that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He withholds nothing good from us. And we know, I appreciate Brother Ray in his prayer, we need the Holy Ghost. We really need the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled with all the fullness of God. We need the Holy Ghost. We need that great love. We need that love shed abroad in our hearts, brothers and sisters. We need to be on fire at this time. The four living ones, the bride of Christ, she's seen as a fiery one. She's got passion. She's going after it. She's undeterred. Praise be to God. And it's all because of the grace of God. But look at what he provided here in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And you know this verse. Now believe it. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound. And that word abound means superabound to every good work. Isn't that wonderful? See, he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we're going to grow. And isn't it wonderful how he says that, I'm telling you, it's all here for you, honey. I will make all grace abound to you. You see how super supplied we are? It's incredible. This is how you grow. And by the way, here it is in a super supply. Here's how you attain to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's grace, and here's your super supply. We're without excuse. Thank you, Lord. We know we are His workmanship. He's got His hands. If you're a child of God tonight, you're in His hand. He's got His hands all over you. Now let Him be. Let Him do it. Lord, mold me and make me after Thy will. All by the grace of God. But you see, it's in that performance of grace that one paramount thing is produced when we receive and do not make void in our lives the grace of God. See, people say, well, I went to a grace meeting. I understand what they mean by that, but that's not really, to me, it's not telling it like it is. They'll say, I went to a grace meeting, and thank you, Jesus, forever, however Christ has preached, where they believe that, yes, you are saved by grace. That most of those grace meetings will believe the simplicity of the gospel that, you know what, I cannot be separated from the love of God. That he cannot deny himself. That seed that remaineth, that everlasting life, is exactly what it is. It's not conditional. It's not temporary. It's the seed that remaineth, it's everlasting. But you see, brothers and sisters, that's just the beginning of what grace is. Praise be to God. If we're truly a grace church, then you know what? We will be the ones that will receive this crown with Paul. Because if you continue to receive grace in your life, and if you'll go after grace, you'll have all the faith to believe all the Word of God. Because there's only one way you can grow, and that's growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is the truth. That's the grace church. Because grace will give you all the glory of God. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, I want you to notice something about these ones that love his appearing. It does not say that this crown, this exalted rank of righteousness, is awaiting and going to be given to every Christian. It does not say that. It specifically says it's only to those, as Paul says of himself, that love his appearing. There are precious types of that and challenges in our life, if you would, of, like Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? All throughout the Word of God. Think about how it says in Romans 8. It says that every child of God is an heir of God. Praise the Lord. If you're born of God, you're an heir. God only has sons. Praise his name. But it says, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer together with him, that we might also be glorified together with him. See, there is another level there. It's just like with this. There is an exalted rank of righteousness in that crown, but it's to them that love his appearing. Praise the Lord. He makes this very clear. This isn't something that you have to try to pull apart or anything of that. It's like a cookie on the shelf. Do you want it? I want it. Jesus said it's for me. Praise God. These are my promises. And I want to go right into that throne room and say, well, thank you, Lord. It's mine, mine, mine. All is mine. You told me in Galatians 4:1, I'm a little Lord of all. This is mine. I'm not going to be shy about it. Why should I be when he's encouraged me? Son, come in and take it. Holy Ghost time. He takes the things of Christ and makes them mine. Lord, don't let me move from that well. And praise be to God, as I'm on my camel, let me just listen to that ministering spirit as he tells me about my soon coming bridegroom. Hallelujah. Now, last week we covered all the evidences of loving his appearing. Loving his appearing is not just anticipating the day when you see Jesus. I believe everybody would love that. Thanks be to God. I hope we would. But the loving of his appearing, praise God, is right now in the saints of like precious faith. It's going on now. And one of the greatest evidences of this readied wife, brothers and sisters, is her insatiable desire to gather herself the much the more with the ones, hallelujah, that love his appearing. The ones that are looking for that soon coming appearing. That day, that moment when we see Christ, there's a love to get together with people that love the Lord like that. I thank God for any Christian. I thank God, praise the Lord, for anybody who loves Jesus. As he calls his innumerable, the children of God. Amen. Naturally speaking, I love kids. And you know it. Get along with them, maybe better than... Well, I'm going to stop there. I'll get myself in trouble. But I love them. But I have a wife. And I didn't marry a child. I wanted someone that I could share everything with, and that person could share everything with me. I wanted an equal. Come on. That's my wife. Now, praise be to God. Here we have this offering that's coming forth, brothers and sisters. And you see that one of the greatest evidences is she loves his appearing. She loves to gather herself the much the more as she sees that day approaching. She loves the head as she loves the body. There's no difference because it's the body of Christ. When we shut ourselves away from these things, something's going on. When we don't want to go to church and fellowship, and I understand, brothers and sisters, I'm in this weak in flesh too. I know we have emotion. I know we're up and down sometimes. But God helped to ravish my heart. God helped to break my heart. God helped me to want to come into fellowship with the sons of God. If it's lacking in our lives, brothers and sisters, and I'm talking about fellowshipping with those that love his appearing, then you love yourself and your self-interests and your self-concerns more than you love his appearing. Did you hear that? You're awfully quiet, and you should be. But brothers and sisters, if this is lacking, the evidence is that we love ourselves and our self-interests more than his appearing. And there is no arguing that away. And yes, it's because the sharper than any two-edged sword, it cuts and discerns the very intent of the heart. I can talk a good game, but God's going to bring me where the rubber hits the road. Do you love me? Remember how he said, as we started this out, he said what the ones would do, the itching ears, the falling away. And what was the first thing he said to Timothy? Endure afflictions. You are going to be afflicted. You're heirs of God, but joint heirs, if so be that you suffer together with me. Listen to these things. This isn't just the suffering, and there is suffering in losing a job and all of these different things. But I'm talking about when we really suffer in the body of Christ. When we come up against things that hurt and disappoint and completely tear at us. Lovest thou me more than these? He's going to bring you into these things. And praise be to God, he's already made the way of escape. So will you trust him? Praise his name. Brothers and sisters, there's a million excuses of why I'm not going to go. There's only one reason, though, that I do go. And that's what this is, love. When I see how much he loves me, there's something that draws me to his word and wants this to work effectually in my life. And Paul here is describing the most wonderful of finishings. This is the full joy and rejoicing finish. This is the completion and the perfection of Paul's desire that he so sweetly sings of. And it is a song. It's the joy book of the Bible song. In Philippians chapter 3, do you remember when he would say this? That I may know him in the 10th verse. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Do you think God brought that on to him here as he's writing to Timothy? Oh, Timothy, all in Asia have forsaken me. They're all gone. Somebody out there bring me a coat? But you know what? If you don't bring me that coat, even though it's cold in here, would you bring me the Word of God? Do you see how God delivered this to him? Do you see how God performed this? God is faithful to his Word. You'll never get around it. Oh, God, help us to be single of purpose. Passionate. As David said, that I would pant after you. As he said, oh, Lord, you're so good. What can I render unto you? Well, honey, I'll tell you what. I got a cup of salvation I want you to drink. What do you think? This is it. How complete, how full, how rich. This is what it is. He said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. See, that's that first trumpet rapture. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Oh my. See, you'll never run if you're holding on to something behind you. You can't drive a car if you're looking in the rearview mirror all the time. You're going to get in a wreck. Listen to the word of God. Lord, perform this in me. Let me let it go. I'll never run if I don't let it go. God will send these things, but they're weights, brothers and sisters. And he says, you got to lay them down. You got to set them aside, honey, if you're going to fly. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's loving his appearing. That's this reaching, brothers and sisters. That's reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul had an insatiable desire to see Jesus. Hallelujah. That made it all well. It didn't matter what was going on. It didn't matter what was, as they say, hitting the fan. I don't know what you're going to say what is hitting. But this was it. I want Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he wants me. Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. See, he finishes here. In this 2 Timothy, what he spoke about in Philippians, God finished in him. He apprehended the best. He has won him. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go over there. Verse 24. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? See, they're all. They're off and running. But one receiveth the prize. One. So run that ye may obtain. See, the winner is the one that obtains. Just like Paul said in Philippians, that I may apprehend, obtain, and praise be to God, the finished work that we've read in chapter 4. I have finished. I have finished. Hallelujah. God is faithful to his word. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as one uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beats the air. But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or disapproved. Praise the Lord for the love again. See, that's the love. That's that Philadelphia love. I want you to win by God's grace, and I want to be a testimony of that. And I believe you have that same desire because of the love and the grace of God that's in you and with you. See, this is the oneness in Christ, brothers and sisters. This is the singleness of mind. This is the unity of the Spirit and the bond of perfectness. This is the cherubim, hallelujah, all the way back in Ezekiel 1. This is a Bible study. We're going back to Ezekiel 1. Praise be to God. Now in Ezekiel 1, in the 5th verse, it says, out of the midst. There's a company in the midst of the throne in Revelation 4. Out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. See, here we go. Here they are. And this was their appearance. Verse 7, it says that their feet were straight. Paul's gospel. Verse 9 says their wings were joined one to another. Unity of the Spirit. Oh, what a bond of peace and perfectness. They turn not when they went. These ones didn't swerve. They were not deterred by anything. These were ones that, if by any means. Amen. And they turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. Verse 12, and when they went every one straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Come on in here, honey. I've got a furnace for you. It's not just given on behalf to believe on him, but we're talking about the gifts, the due benevolence, the loving kindness. It's given on behalf to suffer for his name. Champions, the champions, praise be to God, and all because of the love. Hallelujah. This is what this is. Now, aren't we thankful? As we read here in Ezekiel, doesn't it just come alive? It's not like something that's hard to be understood anymore, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful for Paul's gospel? Do you see how exciting that is? That's why I said, know his gospel. Follow Paul as he followed Christ. And all of this just, wow, it's in living color. My goodness, way beyond three-dimensional. It's alive. You see it. And you see it everywhere in the Word of God. But that's what this gospel does. That's what this gospel is. And it's not just for this. Oh, no, it's this. Oh, hallelujah. By His Spirit, it becomes alive and beating in our hearts as we heed to Paul's gospel. But see, back in our 2 Timothy, this is what controls her. This is what controls everything. The heart attitude, the thoughts, is love to them that love his appearing. See, it's not to them that did the most works or them that set up and preached the most sermons. It's the ones that love his appearing and understanding what that love is. Praise be to God that did grow in that grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this love causes her to submit and lets the Lord perform all of it in her life. This love causes her to rest. Praise God how the Shulamite said, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. See, it was precious when she was telling the Lord how much, or the Shulamite was telling to her lover, how much I love you. But when she finally settled down, when it all was really settled and encouraged in her life, all she could sing is, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. See, it's his love, and how tremendous his love is, and how transforming and powerful his love is. And that is what consumed Paul's thoughts and caused him to have a passion to see his face. For me to live is Christ, he said, and to die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Romans 15:13. Look what he says there. How wonderful. Now the God of hope. See, this is the God of hope. And this ain't man's hope of an if. This is a when. This is the God of it's coming. It's coming. The God of my promises are yea and amen. That's my God, and that's your God. And what does he say? Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See, the only joy you're ever going to have and the only peace you're ever going to have is believing the Word of God. Those other things that you're trying to find your joy and peace in are temporal letdowns. And the more you go that way, the bigger the letdown's going to be. The joy and the peace is in believing God. And what is it now? He fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. That's Paul's gospel. That's the evidence of that love, praise God, that grew and developed and blossomed in Brother Paul. He was abounding in hope. And how was it all done? Again, through the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't cheer this up in your life. It don't work that way. You can't get over here and stand in a mirror and say, well, I got to be happy. I got to have hope. I'm okay. You're all right. That's going to... I better stop there. Holy Ghost. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I cannot encourage you anymore. Let him take all of you. One of the sweetest, greatest evidence, I'm telling you, come down on a Friday night and pray. And let that infilling just flow out of your life. It's part of that precious evidence. We do need to tarry in spirit. Quit being hard-headed about these things. Be tender. Well, I just don't have as much as the other guy. Quit comparing yourselves amongst yourself. He said to follow Paul as he followed Christ. You know what? He finally said, I'm so thankful I speak more than ye all. There's a joy in that. There's a peace in that. And that doesn't mean that you're filled with all the fullness of God just by speaking in tongues. So let's not go there either. But I will tell you, I believe if you are filled with all the fullness of God, you'll be praising him in that other language a lot more often. Yeah, you will. And I think anybody that is beginning to get that filled with all the fullness of God will have one testimony after another right now of how that infilling in that precious language has been coming out of my life the much the more. Amen? Okay. You can call me later, but not right now. All right. So, we thank the Lord that the state of the crown of righteousness, praise God, this is who she is. She's in this state. It's all Him. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And think what a day it's going to be when we see Jesus. There's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more tears. All those things. You think about soon thereafter from when we see the Lord, that old devil and sin and death is going to be consumed in the lake of fire. Can you imagine a time when there's not going to be no more fiery darts? Praise be to God. No more fighting. It is finished. Hallelujah. In that regard. And a time, oh my goodness, forevermore, of the exceeding riches of His grace. I'll tell you what, no wonder it's getting a little bit more encouraging every day. Oh, to have a body like unto His own glorious body. To love Him with a body like unto His own. Hallelujah. To be in that presence, hallelujah, in the ages to come of face to face with Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice here too, it's laid up for Paul. As you go back in there, it says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's laid up. See, brothers and sisters, he finished, Brother Paul is saying here, by the grace of God. His faith is authored and finished to the heights of heights. Yet that crown is not going to be given until that day. It's laid up. But it's not going to be given, praise the Lord, until the day of the Lord, the beginning of that day when we are so ardently, hallelujah, what we are so ardently looking for. And that's the moment of the beginning of that day is the sound of the first trumpet. That's the moment when the bride, hallelujah, is caught away. The dead, hallelujah, in Christ shall rise, it says. Praise the Lord, the Paul, the Timothy, Brother Copley, Sister Bodie, Brother Hill, so many. I believe by the grace of God that ran well and finished with that full joy. But again, as even Jesus said, that's not of me to give. He said, that's of my Father. Hallelujah. Praise God for His word. Oh, it protects us, doesn't it? It's my defender. Got all the armor of God. Hallelujah. Text me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I love Him, how He so wants that word rightfully divided in our lives. But see, brothers and sisters, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we, which by grace are alive and remain. That's what it says there in 1 Thessalonians. The alive ones, the same word you will even find, that root of it, of the living creatures in Revelation 4, those four living ones that are seen in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ, the ones that love His appearing, they will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And another wonderful thing to notice about this company is at that moment of His day, the moment of His crowning, the moment that we see Jesus, isn't it wonderful, brothers and sisters, that the judging by the righteous God will be all done for us? We need to really know this. Some still going off to think about some things that aren't in the Word of God. You see, He's walking through the candlesticks right now. He's walking through those seven churches right now. The judgment is going on at this very moment. The only thing we or any other Christian will receive in heaven in the Lord's day. And remember, that Lord's day lasts a long time. But I want to be there at the very beginning at the sound of the first trump. How about you? But see, during that Lord's day, hallelujah, the only thing that any Christian's going to receive is a reward. The rewards are going to differ as one star differeth from another in glory. We know that. Bible tells us so. But know this, that the judgment time for a Christian is right now. Whether it's going to be gold, silver, and precious stone, or is it going to be wood, hay, and stubble? But there will be no judgment of the righteous in heaven. There will only be reward. Praise be to God. His reward is with Him. Praise His name. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about this crown of righteousness before we adjourn tonight. And I want you to think, well, I don't want you to do anything. I'll tell you what the Lord's encouraged my heart as a testimony. This wedding ring, that's my crown. And he says, to hold it fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. See, I know he ain't talking about salvation. Because I know the Lord doesn't take his salvation away from his children. I know that naturally speaking, I'm at least smart enough to know that as mad as I could ever get at my mom and dad, I'm born of them. That's my mom and dad. How much more so when I'm born of God? I cannot separate myself, nor anyone else, nor anything from the love of God. So when he tells me to hold something fast, let me tell you something. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about win me, son. Marry me, son. I got a ring for you. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, you'll notice in these seven churches in Revelation 4, mentioned it last week. Well, Revelation, I should say, 3. Only two of three of the seven churches, it mentions, have crowns. Only two of those churches. The church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia. The Smyrna saints are those saints that we spoke about earlier. Those which are dead in Christ. The dead in Christ. That's the ones. The ones that have died before the coming of the Lord. Brother Paul, Timothy. Many by the grace of God that we've known. Hallelujah. And then there's the ones that I, and I'm confident you, we wouldn't be here tonight listening to this message, that we hope to be that church of Philadelphia. Those are the ones that live to the coming of the Lord. And as I've said many times, one of the sweetest and greatest evidence of sweet Brother Hill, of that Philadelphia, well, of that Philadelphia love, because he so desired to be in that company, was when he was so sick, ravaged with that cancer, in pain, that I'm sure very few could even imagine. When I went to see him, and as he struggled, and I found him in that hallway, just kind of leaned over in a laying down seated position on the floor, just had a little towel over him, and it just broke my heart to see him. And I said, Papa, what are you doing? And he looked up at me. And he said, Son, do you think he could come today? I'll never forget those eyes. Because those were the eyes of Christ. Those were the dove's eyes. Those are the eyes that had the vision of loving his appearing. Now, see, that's the evidence. Living like that. Are we living like that? I pray to God we are. I pray to God that we're apprehending that love. Are we so concerned about what I got to do tomorrow or what I got to do today and, oh, I got to provide this and do that? Let me tell you something. You got a provider. Trust him. Start leaning on him. You'll come out of that wilderness. That's the only way you're going to come out. That's a good way to come out. Right on that breast. But see, in Revelation 4, those Philadelphia church saints, he tells them, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This reveals the battle of faith that's going on. This is the good fight that's going on. This is the finishing that's required to win him that's going on. And I think about that, and isn't it something that she has that crown all the way? See, it's been given. And all she has to do is hold on. Lay hold of it. Cherish it, honey. Don't be ashamed of it. I told you about that. Thanks be to God when I gave my wife that engagement ring. She didn't go like this. I don't want anybody to see it. I'm embarrassed of him. You know what I'm saying. I'm engaged to be married to Jesus Christ. Not that I've apprehended or attained. But I want to receive the grace of God to occupy as his readied wife. It's been given. Hallelujah. and we lay hold and hold it fast, cherish it, not because of our strength, because we don't have any, but it's because we're trusting completely in His love to us. I'm confident in the power that's in the blood. I'm confident in the grace of God that is with me, that He has given me this, and it causes me to have confidence in Him that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that He that is faithful and true will perform the good work which He's begun. I am confident in Him and His desire and His plan and His provision and His purpose, and praise be to God, His power that will perform this in my life. See, that's grace. I'm not just kicking back and saying, well, I'm just going to live any way I want. That's not grace. That's defiance. That's slothfulness. Grace gets you excited about, Lord, I know I can't do anything, but I want You to will and to do of Your good pleasure in my life. And where You lead, praise be to God, by Your grace I'll follow. You'll bring me in, through, to all these places, praise be to God, that You want me to go. See, this isn't some carrot that He puts in front of us. A lot of people think of they want to think of it that way, that this crown is like a carroting thing. It's not that at all. See, He's already given it to us. He's already fully given us His heart. You talk about a lover who wears his heart on his sleeve. He gave you His very heart. If you want it, He's given it. He wants to marry us. He makes it well known. He has assured us of His undying and passionate love to us. And all we have to do is cherish it. Believe in His love for us. Believe in what it will work effectually in our lives. And matter of fact, see, that's the love that will work all the faith. See, it's His love for us that works all the faith in our life to win His very best. Because the Word of God tells us, faith which worketh by love. Isn't that wonderful how that is? See, when you realize how much He loves you, you begin to believe Him. And then you believe Him, then you even love Him more. And then you'll believe even more. More fervently, more passionately, more quickly. You won't be slow to believe. I don't want my heart burning in me after He left. I want it burning in me before He gets here. You see? Praise the Lord. I sure love you. Praise God. Well, and the result, and we'll wrap it up with this. The result of it all is an exalted rank of righteousness. And I love how that's defined as well, too. It's an exalted rank of condition, of a condition acceptable to God. See, it's what pleases God. And what pleases God again? Faith, right? So if you have the faith by God's grace to believe the entire Word of God and believe it, that it works effectually in you, you could not please the Father anymore. See how simple the Word of God is? People are always trying to do because of man. Every organization, every religious organization got a different group of rules for you. You got to be baptized in this tank. You got to join this church. You want God's best? Love His appearing. How are you going to love His appearing? God's going to judge the secrets of men according to Paul's gospel. This is why Paul could write about it, because it was revealed to him. This was the secret. Praise God, this was the mystery that was hidden. But as Paul says in Ephesians, this dispensation, this mystery of Christ in the church. The angels wanted to look into it. The prophets wanted to look into it. They wrote about it, but they couldn't understand what they were even writing about it. But somehow, some way, to this chief of sinners on the road to Damascus, he said, oh, Paul, you're a chosen vessel unto me. I'm going to reveal this in you. You're not only going to write about it, honey, you're going to live this. You're going to take the grace of God. I'm going to enable you to walk in it. You're going to suffer for my sake. You're going to suffer together with me.
And just as I yelled out TLEO upon that cross, it is finished, you too are going to be able to say, by the grace of God, I have finished. It's the most beautiful love story ever told. And it's ours. God help us to quit messing around. Quit playing hard to get. That's just stupid. You got a lover that don't play around. He's serious. He says, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Boy, that makes me feel good how much he loves me. My goodness. But see, this is that exalted rank of a condition that's acceptable to God. These are the ones that are filled with all the fullness of God. That's the state that they're in. And you think of how the Word of God tells us there is a good and acceptable and a perfect will of God. As that precious brother prayed, he said, oh, I pray that ye be filled with all the perfect and complete will of God. All of it. Hallelujah. See, this is the perfected, complete, fully furnished condition that Paul speaks about to Timothy right there in 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all excellent things. That's what the good works are. They're excellent things. This is the excellence. This is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is the life, brothers and sisters, as Paul said, oh Lord, that I only be found having your righteousness. None of my filthy stuff. All you, all grace. The highest condition that is pleasing to God. This is the double portion, not only a son, but I appreciate how my sweet brother in Christ encouraged me. Oh, honey, but a daughter-in-law too. You know it. Not only a son, but a daughter-in-law to God. What a double portion for my father. A mature son, fully furnished unto all good works, perfect, a vessel fit for the master's use. Maybe this will sing you to sleep tonight. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Don't be shy about going after the Lord's best. He loves you. You're a 10 of 10 to him. He sees you, he's smitten, ravished. The one loved and preferred above all the other women. Time and time again in the Word of God, brothers and sisters, we find this. Think about how Sarah was so prized to Abraham. Hannah to her husband, the Shulamite, the virtuous woman, Esther, Ruth. All I can say is, God help us to wake up. The pattern is over and over and over and over in the Word of God. It's just there. Paul's gospel gives you eyes, not glasses, eyes, within and without, it says, full of eyes. And that's all you see. It's all the pattern that you see. And see, that's the beauty of the Word of God. He'll continue to reveal these precious truths throughout the Word of God. There'll be line upon line and precept upon precept, building and building that masterpiece, that new Jerusalem, the bride adorned, descending from heaven, having the glory of God and her light. She is the one God is looking for. He tells us very clearly, the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth, she is the one that is like him. These are the ones that are the crown company, brothers and sisters.
exalted, oh my goodness, all because of Jesus. Highly esteemed because she, as Esther so sweetly has taught us, she took only what the chamberlain, the Holy Ghost, provided. And she came before the king, and she ravished his heart. And all he could say to her, "Honey, what's mine is yours." In Jesus' name, I pray that we'll believe the word of God. And what a glorious day it will be. Praise God. Let's stand.